Why did I sound like I was going to the mall for a second? I'm going to the mall, and I'm gonna meet
That
the devil.
was God, that was really good. It
was really
was.
good.
It was good. Oh my God, that was so good.
Oh my
Oh
God.
my God, I went to the mall and it was awesome.
Alright, welcome to Rated NA number 72 for the website nerdappropriate.com. We are here post Star Wars Celebration. How you guys doing?
Awesome.
Hi, Bird.
I'm jealous
ready for
because
PAX.
you have tacos and I'm really jealous of that
right
now. I
do have tacos. There's a place in Orlando called Tijuana Flats, which is I guess it's not just Orlando now, but it's pretty much just Florida, right? I think it started
too. Like via UCF, sort of blossomed out of Orlando.
It's not that they're good, like authentic tacos. It's that they've made these like weird. It's like Taco Bell, but way better. Like way better. Like I paused.
They're totally like
is
junk,
Taco
junk
Bell
food
Mexican food?
Taco.
Well, you know what I mean. It's like Tex-Mex taco. They're not like. It's not like you're like I'm gonna go get some authentic Mexican food. It's not that.
Right.
Like crunchy shell tacos and you know chimichanga kind of stuff, but it's all good. It's all really good, and they have a huge hot sauce bar and whatever.
Yeah.
But I moved up here, and I have literally been searching for that style of taco, and we found it tonight. It's a place called
awesome.
Rachel's, who's obviously our sponsor tonight. Rachel's tacos. So thanks, Rachel's from Brooklyn.
Rachel's down here is a totally different thing.
Rachel's down here is a strip
with
club.
Rachel's in Orlando.
That's a strip club. We talked to them, but they didn't want to sponsor us. So you know, we went with Rachel's in Brooklyn, and I think it's going to work out.
I thought they were a steakhouse first, and then
I just
a
realized
second.
While thinking of Rachel's, I never did tell you guys the Mark Holland bachelor party story.
You Uh-oh. Refused to. We asked, and you never did it.
I'll have to tell it when we're not recording, but let me just say that it was one of the most terrifying things I've ever experienced in my life.
So, Ash, I have a question. Is it like the story that you told on the wife swap?
It's okay. So it's similar to the wife swap story, but it was real.
You mean you witnessed it?
And I witnessed it with my own eyes. Yeah.
And speaking of the wife swap, we did get our technical issues fixed, and you can now go back and listen to all of our podcasts on iTunes or on the website or whatever other RSS feeder you might feed our stuff into.
Yeah. So definitely go back and listen to the old ones.
Go back and listen to the first one because it's a gem.
Oh yeah.
It's a gem of a gem.
It's like it's recorded during the apocalypse in the back of a truck or something.
Oh my God.
I mean, what's wrong with it?
Like in the bat cave.
Yeah. It was pretty terrible.
Literally.
Oh, or you could listen to the first episode I was on and how it was super awkward when you said galactic readiness.
Yeah. We were still getting you all warmed up to our perversion, so it was a slow and gradual process. Now you're fully indoctrinated and you're probably worse than us.
And we have a drink named after us.
Yeah. This is true. And there's actually, if you go back and listen, there's actually a drinking game for the show. You have to go back into the podcast notes too, but Ryan and I think Derek and a couple other people created a drinking game off of our podcast.
Oh, that's awesome. I forgot about that.
It's pretty amazing.
What is it?
We had our
idea. I think every time Ash mentioned a penis, there was take a drink. I think I had some weird vocal tic that you had to take a drink on.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of them.
It would pretty much guarantee that someone would be completely
just
hammered by the time any podcast was
obliterated.
So
I would love to have one of our listeners make a game like that, because I think that they could be totally objective while we would be like, I'm perfect.
Yeah. We don't do anything weird anymore.
No, it's all you guys. I do everything perfect.
Totally professional.
Let's do the rundown.
We're going to do a big celebration recap. Ash and Scott went to Star Wars Celebration. What number was it this year?
It was six.
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 Yes, sir.
They went to Star Wars Celebration number six, and they are going to bring us all the different panels and things they got to do and just kind of talk about their experiences there, because it's actually becoming, I think, a fun conference. I liked it last year when I got
it. It's a trap.
So, and then we've got some TV reviews, possibly a game review. And then our question of the week is, what is your bounty hunter name in the theme of Star Wars Celebration? So We got some answers for that.
Good times.
So what have you guys been up to?
Well, I have been just, you know, kind of working my buns off, and that's been going okay. But I was at Celebration for a couple days, and then I spent Sunday kind of getting some material together for PAX and also working on some articles and stuff from Celebration, because I've determined I don't know how, like, big media goes to a con all day and then instantly, like, sits down and writes, like, as the con is going on. I can't really do that. It makes me insane. So I need a day of reflection. So I came home and wrote a lot on Sunday. And I think Scott went back to the con.
I think other than that, there's three of them for every one of us doing.
That's yeah. very true. And we're always kind of like,
and they're also paid and potentially fired based on their writing abilities.
That's
so.
True as well. Yeah,
getting fired will do to you.
That's yep. true.
That's a good motivation. Yeah.
Hmm. Our only motivation is our love of all things nerdy.
All the things.
All the things.
All the things.
That's probably why
I've been
nice.
Doing my pre-PAX regime of I drink a lot of Airborne and take a lot of multivitamins and like basically like try and get my body prepped, especially going from like Celebration to PAX within like, you know, what is it, 4 or 5 days. That is just like a recipe for disease. So
it is.
So I'm just like really trying extra hard.
I'm making a note about Airborne right now. Now that you
I'm literally I'm drinking it as we are podcasting, and I drink it like 2 or 3 times a day leading up to it just to get all juiced up.
Juiced up.
Get all juiced up, you know.
Juice.
I can feel it. I can feel it in my pores right now.
Oh, no.
It's like I'm on fire.
Oh my god.
Oh man.
What about you guys? What are you doing?
Hey Scott, what are you doing?
What am I doing? Well, I went to Celebration this weekend, and that was pretty cool. I had to complete the Mass Effect challenge, which was promote 2 characters, and I didn't have 2 characters to promote. So what I did was, I went out drinking Friday night with our buddy Ryan.
Yes.
Friend of the podcast, Ryan. And then I proceeded to level 2 of my characters from 18 to 20 while intoxicated, which I highly recommend if, you know, if you're of legal drinking age and can drink and drink and game responsibly, because it was like being in the Matrix, you know, like everything slowed down.
What is
down.
Happening?
Yeah. Everything slowed down and I was faster.
Bullet time.
It was either that or I just had a really good team that carried me through the 4 matches I played, but either way, I had a really good time. So
good. Game's still fun.
And we've actually, I don't know if we've mentioned this previously, but I've gotten back into Borderlands lately.
I saw you on Borderlands the other day.
Yeah, our buddy D the P kind of like talked me into trying to clean up some of the achievements for the game. So I've been working with him.
You guys are a terrible influence on each other.
Yeah, awful.
It's horrible.
We're enablers.
It's like 2 heroin addicts like, take more heroin. No, you take more heroin.
It's exactly what it is.
Yeah, because... He'd be like, dude, he texts me on Xbox, dude, check out these 3 achievements I just got. And I was like, oh yeah, man, those are pretty tough to get. He's like, you should help me kill Crawmax. And I was like, yeah, I should help you kill Crawmax. Let's do this.
Yeah, but so, did he tell you he told you what he did to get those achievements, right? He like did some shit with his Xbox, like turn on all night with like a weight on top of his controller.
You have to soak your Xbox.
Everybody's hearing this right now, right? What is hearing what Scott is saying?
Yeah, when the giant claptrap comes out to obliterate you during that particular piece of DLC, you run into this shed and you hide behind the dumpster, and then you leave your Xbox on overnight, and then he ends up killing all of the minions that he spawns, right? And they drop all this loot, and you have to find the collectibles like in this big sea of loot that you find 8 hours later after you get back into the game.
It's like Christmas morning, like you wake up with your footy pajamas. You go running down the stairs, and you're like, what's there waiting for me? And it's 3 brand new achievements.
Well,
no joke. There's literally like 1,000 pieces of like loot on the ground when you get up the next morning, like after 8 hours of soaking.
Scott, I'm glad you're here, because this actually isn't a podcast. This is an intervention for your addiction to achievements.
Maybe we should talk about what Hillary's been doing.
We've each written a statement about how this makes us feel and what you've done to us. And we're going to read it now.
I know. I feel like you're judging me, Scott, because I don't have as high of achievements as you.
Oh, if that was true, then he would never talk to me.
Oh my god, they're just silly. Achievements are silly.
I would just like to say that I also have PS3, so you cannot judge me by my Xbox Live.
He's got this too, don't worry. He's got plenty of awards on there too.
I'm sure he has some sort of algorithm to like add the trophy achievement score to the Xbox Live game score.
Oh no, I should stop talking about
this. Don't worry. I mean, the thing is, we should all feel good about it because Scott's only had an Xbox like 1/3 of the time as the rest of us. So it's totally fine that he has 7 times the gamer score.
Some people, you know, some people watch TV, other people read books. When you guys are doing that, I'm just playing Xbox. I'm sorry. What do you want me to do? What do you want to fight about it?
Actually, you know, I actually respect you more for it.
I would just like to say also, I feel like I always preface with, I'd like to say, there's a lot of games that I've...
Hillary, yes, you have your hand up. What did you need?
I have played certain games like 6 or 7 or 12 or 13 times. So I should get extra achievements for that.
You should.
I may have spent almost as much time as you playing games. It's just that I'm weird and play the same ones over and over.
Yeah, there you go. See, however you want to enjoy your games, that's totally cool with me.
That was Hillary telling you that she's as good, if not better than you, at playing Xbox.
Oh, boy.
I will take that challenge.
Oh, boy.
So, Hillary, what do you
think? Scott, do you know what? I don't think we've played a lot of multiplayer together. I know I played with Matt and Ash a lot.
I'm really
bad. I don't think I've played with you.
Well, you know where to find me. I'm raring to go.
This needs to happen.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Dun, I want no part of this.
So, Hillary, what have you been up to?
Let's see. What have I been up to? So, there's some stuff in my personal life that's kind of sad. Been hanging out with my family a lot, and that's the good news.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What else? I've been working a lot and getting ready for PAX. Really, really excited about working for BioWare at PAX and hanging out with you guys at nighttime. I'm doing fun things. And yeah, that's about it. So yeah, professional
life. I only
good.
Come out at night. That's it.
It's true. He's a vampire.
That's true. Well, that's awesome. We're excited to. I was telling you today, like I've been around a lot of conventions that you've been at, and we've chatted at conventions. We've never had the opportunity to hang out for more than 10, 15 minutes at a time. Other than, I mean, we hang out online all the time, but not in person.
Oh,
not IRL.
Not IRL.
Exactly.
So it'll be fun.
Here's the thing, Ash, did you consider that, like, let's say when we're out on a Friday night and it's 10 p.m., it'll actually be 1 a.m. our time?
Oh, I'm going to be, like, I'm going to have to just, like, pound energy drinks, like 18 of them. I'm going to be vibrating. That's my goal, is just to see how many heart attacks I can have.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I just want to throw that out there.
So, Matt, what's been going on? I know your sister-in-law was in town.
She wasn't. It was actually a very nice visit, I will say.
Good. It was good fun. For that. That's a miracle.
I have actually been playing a lot of video games as opposed to the three of you, one in particular.
What?
And I've been playing Ghost Recon, which we will talk about maybe later. And if not, awesome. No one will ever know what my opinion was. I kid. And I watched Hunger Games, finally, the movie.
It's a good movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of the movie? We didn't review it, right?
I don't remember, but I know we reviewed the book several times.
We talked about the books.
Yeah, yeah. Did you guys like the movie, though?
No,
I did. Enjoyed it. It was a little slow, but, you know.
I felt like it was, I felt like without the context of the book that you, it seemed like they just kind of left a lot out. But I don't know if that was because I read it so recently or what. But what else have I been doing? I think that's about it. Saw a movie.
Pretty busy week. Tacos.
Playing
Hunger
games.
Video games. That sounds like a good week, man.
Ghost Recon. That's a great week.
Mexican food and video games. That's right up my alley.
That is like my dream night.
We did catch up on Newsroom, too, completely. So.
Oh, my God. I started watching Newsroom, too.
The one behind.
So good. So good.
You know, their season finale was this week.
Yes, I watched it.
It was good.
It was.
Maybe we'll talk about it.
Maybe we will.
Ash and I are going to put earmuffs on during that segment.
News.
So today, Apple announced some new things with the court case, following up on a thing that I don't think we got a chance to talk about yet, which is Apple won. They beat Samsung on almost every charge of patent infringement and got awarded $1.05 billion in patent rewards for patent infringement.
Because they need it.
That's ridiculous.
So
that's
they're...
Like, Dr. Evil amounts of money.
Yes, they're about to get $1 billion from Samsung, which is also, by the way, one of their manufacturing partners. So think about that number for a little bit.
That's ridiculous.
And then the more kind of abusive thing, if you want to say that, is that they've also put an injunction in to shut down 8 devices from being sold inside of America. And I think it's just America.
Let me guess, they're all smartphones.
It is the Galaxy S, the Galaxy S2 for all different carriers, the Galaxy S Showcase, the Droid Charge, and the Galaxy Prevail. The ones that are notably missing are the tablets, the Galaxy Tab, and the Galaxy Nexus phone. Not the 7-inch tablet, but the phone. So those are missing from the list. Not to say that Apple won't turn around and decide they want to go after those as well. I just don't think they lost on as many patent charges as the other phones did. So this is kind of crazy. There's now two camps. There's the camp that says, this is right. Apple should get this because they created these things and Samsung was just ripping them off. And there's the camp that says, now Apple's going to hold just about, you know, all the cookies in the cookie basket or whatever at this point. So
I also heard their stock like went fucking ape shit today.
Shot straight through the roof today after the findings. Ridiculous. Like, I mean, just went way up.
So when the plasma TV came out and all kinds of different companies were developing those, I mean, it creates competition, right? Isn't there a fear that if Apple keeps winning like this, that there's all kinds that they'll have a monopoly?
There is, but the not the judge, but the jury, actually, the statement was that they were trying to send a message that this was blatant. Basically, the thing that they kept using as a comparison was, well, if Apple created something so normal that that's what everybody wanted, how come Windows Phone looks so different and Nokia's phones look nothing like Apple's? Now, mind you, those phones don't sell nearly, not even, you know, within percentages of what the Samsung Galaxy series and the Apple phone sells, which are probably two of the most popular phones in existence. But it is a valid argument, I guess, at the end of the day, if you look at something like Windows and you look at something like the Nokia phones, which look nothing like Apple phones at all. So, I don't know. I'm kind of on the camp of this seems really close to just handing Apple the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cause
here's what I have a proposal.
Yeah.
We should just, from now on, we should just call every smartphone an iPhone and it'll be like Band-Aid.
there you go.
Right? Or Kleenex.
The other thing they're saying is even though Android didn't get charged, is that the cost of Android phones are going to go up because now they're going to be paying licensing fees to Apple for patents.
It's lame.
Yikes.
So Apple will essentially be making money off of almost every phone in existence.
That's absurd. Well, I mean, what can you do? I mean,
seems like
we're going to be the United States of Apple pretty soon. Yeah. Just FYI.
It's a little depressing to me. I won't lie, but I don't know. I don't know. I was really hoping that they didn't come back with such. I was hoping that it was gray zoned. You know, kind of like, oh, they won some patents, they lost some others, they're going to get some money, and then we're just going to kind of all push this away and let it move on. And instead of gray zone, it was like, Apple won everything, shut all those phones down, give them $1 billion. And you're like, whoa. Like, that is the opposite of what I thought.
That's such a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's crazy.
I mean, I don't know if you guys realize, they have patents on things like double tap to zoom, pinch to zoom.
I read that, and I think that's kind of absurd. It's like, you know,
yeah,
like patenting a handshake. Like, yes. Can you really do that?
I mean,
I know. Like, what about a mouse? Like back in the day, I mean,
didn't patent as hardcore as they do now on some of that stuff. People own patents at one point, maybe, who knows? But
yeah, double click, right click, all of that.
Well, and that was kind of a lot of designers came out saying like the problem with this is that now people are going to have to, come up with counterintuitive ways to do things just to avoid infringing on Apple's patents for very intuitive, like, they're like, Apple can't own the fact that if you double tap something, you expect it to come closer to you. Like, that's kind of a ridiculous thing to own because it's kind of a natural assumption that that's what you would want to do on a surface, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and it also gets sort of any kind of competition with any other vendors using ancillary products. I mean, like if you look at, like I'm looking at my laptop right now, there's this, you know, Synaptics like touchpad thing.
Yeah.
So, and it could be any other company that creates that, and you're losing the ability to integrate better technology in the future if you're only relying upon your own and if everyone's scared to develop around it.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this will either hopefully drive crazy amounts of innovation, which I doubt, or it will usher Apple into an era of getting licensing fees for every single thing in existence. So
suck.
We will see. There is the case where Motorola or Google's now suing Apple with Motorola's patents. So Lord knows what will happen, but the big boys need to learn to play nice, I think, and it's just not happening yet. So that was pretty much, I think, the only bit of news we had, but it was kind of gigantic news for the tech industry this past weekend. I thought we...
Yeah,
that is important.
Bring it up before we move on with some depressing news into a happy event, a celebration, if you will.
A celebration, Batman.
Oh, my God.
That wasn't a good...
Sorry?
That, was like
that a wasn't a good vein. It is your destiny, Batman.
There you go.
You need to do your orc again.
Maybe later. Maybe later.
So what did you guys think? Maybe give us, before you get right into the panels, how was it this year? Because I know last year it was good, but it also felt a little kind of empty, a little weird. But it seemed like it had a lot more buzz this year than it did last year.
What's your opinion, Scott?
I thought that the expo floor was like smaller, maybe. I can't really tell, but
I don't think that's a bad thing. But
go ahead. Not a bad thing. I think it was smaller, but I also found myself doing more this year. So I think that made it okay. So I think everything, you know, maybe to say they brought balance to the convention this year.
Yeah. Yeah. And definitely balance to the convention. I think what made this year better than Celebration 5, there was more cosplay even than ever before. So, I mean, literally every fifth person was in costume. It was kind of absurd. There were just costumes everywhere.
And
so,
I'm pretty sure every 10th person was a Padme or a Slave Leia.
Yeah, there were a lot of Padmes, a lot of Slave Leias, so many Boba Fetts and Mandalorians. It was like a Mandalorian with flames on my helmet. I'm a Mandalorian with fucking stripes on my helmet. It's like I don't even know what was going on anymore.
So wait, was there a Mara Jade?
There were some Mara Jades. I saw my first attractive Mara Jade on the escalator, and I almost fell down the escalator.
Oh my God.
I saw Scott's male Slave Leia.
Yeah, I did post a picture of male Slave Leia.
That male Slave Leia was a hot piece of meat.
To his credit, he was quite fit, and I'm pretty sure that he had the confidence and the physique to pull it off. So kudos to that guy.
No, but in all seriousness, I had a really good time at this celebration, more so than 5. I don't know if the panels were better. I don't know if it's because we had a little bit more access this time. But it was an absolute blast, and you know, I'm already looking forward to the next one. We don't know if it's going to be in Orlando again. We don't know if they're sticking to the every 2 years thing like they are now. So we'll see.
Because this is kind of a roving convention, right?
It was until these
two happened to stick in Orlando. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I bet Orlando is clamoring to just make it an Orlando convention, you know, like always here kind of thing.
I think so. And I mean, like judging by the amount of talent that they can get to come here, I think it works. And I think maybe the other thing they have going for them is that there are a lot of I met a lot of people from overseas this year.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I think maybe by having it on the East Coast, maybe people from Europe can make the trip. You know, it's not unrealistic for British people to come to Orlando. You know,
I think as much as we may
Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we may complain about, you know, the size of San Diego at times for Comic-Con, it definitely is a benefit to know where your trip's going to be every year, that you're not trying to plan like across the country 1 year and Orlando the next year, you know, like PAX being in Boston and Seattle every year and Comic-Con being San Diego every year. Like, I think that stuff benefits the con at the end of the day too. So maybe we'll stick. That would be good.
Like routine.
Yeah. So this first one we have on the list, Scott, is possibly the one I'm most excited to hear about.
Cool.
Your hero did a puppeteer panel.
Yeah, he did a Tim Rose, who plays Admiral Akbar, and Mike Quinn, who, man, what does he play? What's that guy's name? Neeb Nub. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So they did sort of like a discussion about just what it's like to be a puppeteer, their experience with Star Wars. And it was a really good talk. I mean I kind of recorded the whole thing and went back and I wrote an article about it, which ended up turning into like a thesis. So if anybody wants to read pretty much everything that happened at the panel, it's up on nerdappropriate.com right now. But it's really cool because it seems like all of these puppeteer guys are super laid back, like easygoing dudes. They got started like when they were like 16, 17, 18 years old. So they're like not super old at this point. You know, they still work in the industry. And obviously they talked about Star Wars a little bit, but then the discussion quickly turned to Muppets discussion because both of these guys worked on the Muppets and trained under Jim Henson. Yeah, it's incredible. And there's a quote that I took from the thing and I put in the article. Let me look it up real quick. They said that they worked on the Muppets and they did like, you know, like I think Mike Quinn said the first thing he did was Great Muppet Caper when he worked with Jim Henson. And it was just like learning under him and being a part of that community was like sort of like the thing that got them started, which eventually like, you know, got them into Star Wars. But he says, let's see, Tim Rose actually said,
"It was the days he came out of his court when Jim was alive. I mean, yes. It was just, you couldn't believe how wonderful it was to work there. And that's why it shows, you know, it came through. We all came
110% because we absolutely loved the man and wanted to do everything.
Yeah, we had that ability. And just the best times would be to watch Jim and Frank on set performing, say, a scene with Kermit and Fozzie, and they'd just be trying to crack each other up, and there'd be tears rolling down their faces, and they'd be entertaining themselves. And then they knew if they were having fun, then the audience should be having fun. That was kind of the root of it all.
That's wow. Awesome.
So, that is awesome.
Yeah, they said it was just like the best times of their lives. So, they talked about that. They talked about like Mike Quinn, I think, actually worked on the new Muppets movie. So that was kind of like a good feeling for him to see things. He said like it was like coming full circle. He said that with this most recent Muppets movie, you know, you guys know that Disney now owns the license for the Muppets. Yeah. They own the rights to the Muppets. And they said that with Disney, this was pretty much the last chance to reboot the Muppets. So like if this film would have been a flop, we probably would not be hearing too much from the Muppets anymore. So
wow.
The film did well, and they're actually writing a sequel now. Like Jason Segel and that crew is working on a sequel. So
that's awesome.
It was like a really incredible panel. Not even really because of the Star Wars talk, because I think a lot of the people there probably knew most of what occurred with them in Star Wars, but just the finding out that they worked on so many other things.
Yeah.
Like telling stories about what it's like to be, you know, in a stationary position for 4 hours while you're waiting like for something to happen where your hand is like up in this puppet and you're just waiting, or being inside of a suit and like sweating and it's like 100 degrees. I think those are the kinds of like war stories that made it really interesting. So
that's awesome.
If you want to learn more, the article is on nerdappropriate.com. I would entice you to read this article by telling you that Tim Rose actually got fired off of Return of the Jedi because of Harrison Ford. And if you want to read the story, it's in the article, and it's really
That's
funny.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Ooh, drama.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of always amazing to me to see these kind of things because, you know, it's the same when you guys talked with Jennifer Hale and stuff. There's always kind of an assumption that these people just got plucked like out of obscurity and just put in like the most amazing role you've ever heard of in your life. And it's like, well, no, they've clearly been working for like 20 years previous to
absolutely.
This. And to hear that history and to hear like these kind of amazing things that all these people have done. That's amazing that he worked with the Muppets. I had zero idea about that.
Yeah, so. it's been over 30 years. And Tim Rose actually said that he was originally cast for Salacious Crumb. And he he was on set one day and was like, "What's that over there, that fish guy?" And he was told like, "Oh, it's just, you know, this character that's like coming up later in the shoot." And he was just like, "Can I do that?" And they were like, "Sure." And like that's how he became Admiral Akbar.
Wow.
So, that's totally awesome.
Off the cuff. Yeah, it's amazing. So I would encourage you to read the article. It's you know, they're really cool guys, and they really had a lot to say, and I tried to get it all in there.
That's very cool.
Super cool.
So what did Mark Hamill look like in real life?
I wouldn't know because I went nowhere near his panel.
Oh man.
He had
so you're gonna get him on the show, Ash.
Even at five, he had like a 4 hour wait for a 5 hour wait for his panel.
Here's the thing. When I found out how much it cost for his signature,
$125.
$125, okay.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Which is to me, that's disgusting.
Not
Sorry,
even a photo.
Mark Hamill, like I understand people, but there's no way on earth that you should ever pay that much for anyone's signature. $125. And they had him behind like a Wizard of Oz curtain, so you couldn't see him signing. So he was in this like special curtained off area that was you couldn't see him with your naked eye. He was too magnificent. So
are you serious? So he probably just had like a stack of ones. It probably wasn't even him behind the scene.
I know, it was a robot. No, I don't know. I mean, I understand that, you know, you at this point in your career, you're kind of probably over the whole convention thing. But $125, I don't think that's necessarily fair to your fans. Your fans, you know, are there to see you.
Would he have signed a Joker picture for me?
He probably would have.
That's one of my favorite things he's done.
I love the Joker. Absolutely. I totally agree. So no, I didn't see Mark Hamill. Sorry, Hillary.
But you did see.
He's not going to be on the show?
No. Let's just let that go.
Man.
But you did see Chris Hardwick.
Yes. So we got invited to this the Nerdist press conference, which was early on Saturday morning. And I find this guy pretty interesting just because, you know, like a lot of you, I grew up kind of watching him on different shows and such. And I always liked when he co-hosted Attack. And I'm really excited about the stuff he's doing with Nerdist, because he is, you know, he started off with the podcast and he's kind of growing it to be this giant, right, of all things nerdy, which is kind of cool. And he does really have good intentions. I mean, he's not out to make a quick buck. He really is passionate about all of this stuff. He likes games, he likes, you know, movies, he loves Star Wars. And so the conference was actually really cool. He talked about not only his work on Attack of the Show, because I think the first question that someone in the press asked was, were you ever offered Kevin's job when Kevin left Attack of the Show? And he pretty much said, yeah, he was, but he's way too busy to take it now because it's a, you know, a 5 day a week commitment. And he also said something that was interesting. He said that he doesn't really know what's going to happen with Attack of the Show, because Attack of the Show was pretty much Kevin's show conceptually. Mm-hmm. That was like pretty the way the show was being run now, that was all Kevin. And now that Kevin's gone, they don't really know what they're going to do with it. So what he said was he doesn't even really know what Attack of the Show is going to be within the next year. It might not even exist. So he also said there's like a lot of stuff going on at G4. He didn't
Kevin Pereira was on This Week in Tech, and Leo Laporte asked him about it. And he just said he asked like kind of why he left and stuff. And he said he couldn't go through yet another rebrand of G4. He said they're about to try to rebrand again and launch a new face to G4, and he was just like, it's not in me anymore, I don't want to do that, and decided to go.
Yeah, and so what else did he talk about? Oh, he talked about he had this yellow shirt on, and one of the reporters is like, what shirt is that? And it turns out he was wearing an original 1976, I guess is when the shirt was made, 1976 Star Wars crew shirt that he had on. And everyone was like, well, where'd you get it? And it turns out the girl that he's dating, who works for Nerdist, her dad was one of the original special effects artists for Star Wars. And he had it in his garage. And they just started nerding out about you know, Star Wars and effects and things like that. When I got a chance to ask a question, I asked him, you know, if he would ever want to do anything Star Wars related on the Nerdist channel. And he said, absolutely. He's really trying to push for, you know, having a very strong relationship between Lucas and the Nerdist. And hopefully there's going to be something coming down the pipes. He also said that one of the reasons he chose to not take the job at Attack of the Show is he's working on his own talk show for Comedy Central. Which is still nice. In like the planning process.
Oh, cool.
But his Comedy Central show is going to be very Attack of the Show esque. So he's got a lot of stuff coming down the pipes, and I did get a chance to talk to him on the show floor for a few minutes, and he's just genuinely a nice dude. Like, you know, Hardwick, he's very, very hardworking, and he really does love the stuff that we love. So it was pretty cool.
Cool.
Is he coming back for Talking Dead? I know that Walking Dead is coming back October 14th.
Yeah, he did mention that Talking Dead is still...
I thought it was coming back on Halloween.
Oh,
is it 14th?
I think it's the 14th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so sorry. Talking Dead will be back.
Cool.
I'm double-checking that, by the way.
Okay. So jump in. I guess these next two are kind of mixed somewhat, sort of.
Yeah.
But a bunch of Clone Wars news, of course, because it's the best thing Star Wars going right now.
Okay, so Scott and I kind of wiggled our way into the Star Wars Clone Wars press conference.
We sure did.
We did.
You held up the line and everything.
Yeah.
I got friends inside.
That was weird, right? That actually worked for once. It was something
Somebody's going to have to come get you.
Yeah. So anyway, we made a contact at Lucas. She was really nice, and she ended up getting us into the press conference, even though we were kind of late on the list. And when we got there, it was, of course, Ashley Eckstein, who plays Ahsoka, and Matt Lanter, who plays Anakin, and Dee Bradley Baker, who plays the clones, and supervising director Dave Filoni. And it was awesome. And, you know, we got to hear them talk about everything about, you know, from the process to where the show is going to, you know, fan expectations. And I think what I really like about them so much is they have so much respect and admiration for each other. There was one point where Dave Filoni was talking to Ashley Eckstein in the middle of a press conference. And granted, it was a rather, you know, small press conference. There were probably only maybe, what would you say, 20 reporters there, Scott?
Yeah, no
maybe.
More than 30 for sure.
Yeah. He almost made Ashley Eckstein cry just from like all the nice things he was saying about her and how hard she works and her performance. And you can just see, I mean, they're just like as close as you can possibly, you know, be after working together for so long. And I really appreciate that. It makes me like this show, you know, that much more. And what else did you take away from it, Scott?
I think, I don't know if you mentioned that Sam Witwer was also there.
It's just saying what or yeah.
And he is like a well of knowledge. Like any question that came along about like a character or, you know, one of those like ambiguous questions, like what was your favorite, blah, blah, blah. Like he had an answer. He had like detailed knowledge, could cite you references and like provide you, you know, phone numbers for people. Like it was like mind blowing how much he had in his head about this show. You know what I mean?
He was a true fan.
Absolutely.
He's the kind of like guy that goes home and studies this stuff, gets on like Wikipedia and just reads. Like the dude just knows everything. And for those of you who don't know who Sam Witwer is, he's playing Darth Maul now on Star Wars The Clone Wars, and he actually played the Secret Apprentice in The Force Unleashed, and he's also the vampire on Being Human. So he's doing quite a lot right now, but he is like, it's crazy. He's like the ultimate Star Wars fan. He's like Star Wars, like the Star Wars kid.
Yeah. And he does an incredible amount of angry screaming in The Force Unleashed, which I thought was pretty awesome too. So I was,
yeah,
it was cool.
He's totally into it.
Yeah.
Other than that, like, you know, the press conference was just a sort of a laid back event where Dave Filoni really answered most of the questions, and a lot of them were pertaining to like the direction of the series and perhaps, you know, where it's going to end up. And I don't think they really have an end game plan at this point. But what I do think is interesting is the way that this is recorded is there's so much, quote unquote, post-production that the voice actors and everything, they record, and then the whole season is pretty much wrapped by the time it already starts airing. So they're already beginning production on season 6, and season 5 hasn't even premiered yet. And so season 6 is like almost done and completely in the can. And then, you know, they're already starting.
Did they say how long each episode takes or no?
At some point I'm sure that they did. I don't recall off the top of my head, but, just an awesome, you know, an awesome group of people.
Yeah.
I think it was also interesting. And I guess this never, I mean, it's probably something I should have assumed, but the fact that like George Lucas has, you know, Dave Filoni's cell phone number and can just, you know, call him up at any time and just be like, Dave, I really want you to, I want you to, shoot an episode where, Anakin, we see how he becomes the way that he is. And Dave would just be like, yeah, oh yeah, totally. We're totally going to do an episode about that. You know, it's like, that's just surreal. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just to have him.
He did say that. He said that, you know, even though Lucas is retired, he supposedly has retired now. He even called Dave Filoni while Dave Filoni was at Celebration with like story ideas. So the two are still like working and have this like, you know, great rapport going, even though, you know, Lucas is kind of like hanging back. But
isn't that where Dee Bradley Baker was? Like he was late to the press conference, and I think they said that he was having a conversation with George Lucas when he showed up.
Wow. Yeah. And by the way, Dee Bradley Baker, insanely talented voice actor. Oh my God. If you guys have never heard him do his thing, it's like listening to like every monster. He just makes all the monster sounds most of the time, but he also does the voice of the clones, and his range is just absurd. Like the sounds that come out of him, it's like Michael Winslow on crack. It's like ridiculous.
And most of the time he's talking to himself.
Yeah. Oh, he'll do like five clones like in a single scene, and they will actually record it all at the same time. So it's not like he records each one individually. He'll do all the different characters all in unison. So it's absurd what the guy can do. He's crazy.
I don't think you put it in the list, but you also went to a sort of like a NPR style radio broadcast of the Clone Wars. Like the Clone Wars cast read a script.
Oh yeah, so there's two different things. Well, I don't know why I didn't put it in there. It was like one of the highlights of the whole show, but I kind of forgot when I was making the show notes. The first thing I went to was the voice acting panel. It was, you know, stars of the Clone Wars got there and told sort of their origin stories, which was neat, how they all got hired. And I'm not going to go into detail. If you want to read how everybody in the Clone Wars got hired and, you know, who they were actually originally reading for, you can go to nerdappropriate.com and read my little write-up. But what they did do for that is they actually recorded like an 8-minute comedy bit that they wrote specifically for Star Wars Celebration. And it was 8 minutes of like the characters actually visiting Star Wars Celebration. So for instance, like, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi and Ahsoka and all of them and Yoda actually land a starship at Star Wars Celebration and start walking around and looking at the sights and the sounds. And so you get to actually see, you know, how the characters would react to like things like Darth Vader and seeing Darth Vader for the first time. So
my question for you, Ash, is who did the voice of Yoda at that particular panel?
Oh, so the voice of Yoda is a guy by the name of Tom Kane, and Tom Kane's actually been doing Yoda for over a decade. So it's always been the Yoda that you've heard for the past 10 years in games and in television shows has always been Tom Kane, because Oz retired from the character. He doesn't do it anymore. So Kane is awesome. He's also the
narrator too, right?
Also the narrator. So
right, there you go.
Maybe we can play a little like 30-second smidge of that for the folks now.
No words are audible on the message. Only a faint beacon from a distant location known as Orlando. General Skywalker mans a ship and assembles a crew, including Captain Rex and his Padawan Tano.
Prepare for landing. We're here.
Master, this Orlando is giving off the chart temperature readings. It's almost too hot for any type of life form to survive. Are you sure this is it?
Well, the coordinates appear to be accurate, Snips. Just can't figure out what would have brought them out this far in the first place.
General, you may want to take a look at this. We've got company. Heed or no heed, there's a massive amount of life forms out there.
Look at them all. There's so many. How did they get here?
I don't know, but I'm guessing someone's got to know the location of the Masters. Rex, arm your men. We're going out there.
Yeah, I'm totally becoming a voice acting fanboy. No, I really am. Like, I every time I go to these panels, they're my absolute favorite at the cons, and I don't know why it is. Maybe it's just because it's like you get to actually just watch like something awesome created right in front of you. I don't know, but I love voice acting. And the other thing I went to was another voice acting panel, and it was a big event. It was called The Smuggler's Gambit, and it was a script specifically written for Celebration, and it was an actual Star Wars radio play with a massive cast of people. You had, of course, Tom Kane, Claire Grant from Team Unicorn, who also does a voice on Star Wars: The Clone Wars, Ashley Eckstein, Sam Witwer. Gosh, the list goes on and on. The cast was absolutely huge. And they did an amazing tale of Han Solo and Chewbacca that takes place right after episode 4. So it's kind of like what happens with Han Solo as soon as episode 4 is over. And it was a 30-minute radio play, and it was an absolute blast. So that was fun.
Something different is what you're talking about. I thought that was the thing, the Clone Wars thing.
No, it was different. So the Clone Wars cast actually characters. So like Claire Grant was playing Leia, Sam Witwer was playing a brand new character. I can't recall his name at this point, but you know, it was all of them doing different voices, things you haven't heard before. So like Matt Lanter, really who does cool. Anakin, Matt Lanter actually played Luke in this, so that was kind of cool to see too. So nice. It was a definitely a different twist on their voices, and got to see them do something a little bit a little bit strange, but it was awesome. It was really
That's incredible. Cool.
So how is Mark Hamill?
Oh my God.
Mark Hamill was not there.
I know. I'm thinking if I ask the question enough, he'll say something else.
This This is sort of like Celebration is sort of like a Star Wars convention for the next generation. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's really like all about the Clone Wars, and there are, you know, people there that line up for Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill, and this was the first time that Ian McDiarmid was there too. But really, like, I think what dominates the panels and everything else is sort of like the Clone Wars and like the newer stuff, like especially Seth Green. And you went to that Seth Green panel as well.
So we finally get to find out what this damn project is, right?
Yes. Have you guys looked at the clips of it yet or seen anything?
I haven't seen
yet?
The clips. I read the stuff you wrote, or did you tweet about it? I read stuff you wrote. So.
About it. I mean, I tweeted about it. So it's called Star Wars Detours. It's more than likely going to be on Cartoon Network. It has no release date yet, but it is a comedy series that takes place between episodes 3 and episodes 4. So Leia is about 14 years old. Han and Chewie are around. Some of the cast that survive episode 3, they're in it as well. But it's a completely comedic take on the Star Wars universe, sort of in the style of Robot Chicken. Great voice cast. You have people like Donald Faison, of course, Seth Green. Gosh, who else is in it? Breckin Meyer,
I was going to say. Yeah.
Jennifer Hale is a major
Yay!
Character. I was mm-hmm. stoked at that. The voice cast is just huge. If you want to check it out, there is a Facebook page that's already up and running. It's facebook.com/ Star Wars Detours, and they do have some clips in there and some images and things like that. But it was absolutely hilarious. And I went to they had this panel multiple times during the weekend, because that's what they do at Celebration. They kind of repeat panels. And I went to the first one. So this was the first time that Seth Green and the rest of the guys from the crew had ever really watched it with an audience. And they had no idea.
Oh, wow.
And the crowd absolutely fell in love with it. So, you know, I have very high hopes for it. I was laughing my ass off. It's kind of my style of ridiculous humor.
Fart jokes.
Yeah, lots of fart jokes.
If I could make an observation about the animation, which I don't know if this is intended or not, but I think the animation sort of looks like old school LucasArts point-and-click adventure games, sort of like a la Grim Fandango style.
Yeah.
That might have been the intention.
Yeah, I don't know if that was the idea or not, but it looks pretty neat.
Oh, there's a couple other things. There are original members of the trilogy that are actually voicing characters. So Billy Dee Williams is voicing Lando.
Nice!
Anthony Daniels is voicing C-3PO.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I think there are a couple other original cast members that are doing the voices of these animated characters, and it looks it's going to be pretty funny. So definitely check out Star Wars Detours.
I like that he chose pretty much the darkest period in the Star Wars universe history to write a comedy out of, right?
Yeah.
This is the point where they're going through and basically just taking over entire worlds and murdering Jedi and, you know.
Well, to give like an example of what the humor is like two of the main stars are stormtroopers who are tasked with essentially guarding the Death Star as the first Death Star is being built, or as the new Death Star is being built, because the first one's been destroyed. So the new Death Star is being built. These two stormtroopers are
it'd be the
first one.
Death Star is being built. No one knows what it is yet, and these two stormtroopers are guarding it, and they think it's a mall because it's this big. Like, it's all security guards, and just kind of keeps them like driving around the Death Star, like knocking things over and causing hijinks because they don't have anything to do. They're like guarding this like hunk of metal up in space, and it's just it looks just like totally like Clerk style ridiculousness. I love it.
Awesome. So
so
any takeaways from the con, or do you have any other things you wanted to highlight? Or
there's one more thing, and I'm going to be a bad reporter for a second because I didn't actually go. Apparently they were showing Star Wars 1313.
Oh, really?
And it was right before the puppeteering panel, so I didn't go to it. But there were people that were walking out, and pretty much like everybody who walked out of that room had their face melted, more or less.
Really?
And,
was it more than the can? Or you don't know? I can't ask this.
What
question.
I heard, yeah. What somebody got in line eventually and talked to me about it, for the puppeteering panel, and he said that they were doing a demonstration of in-game footage. And the guy said it looked like he was using an Xbox 360, which I don't believe for a second.
No.
But that's what he said.
There's no way.
Yeah,
there's no way.
They probably just had it plugged into a PC and they were just...
Just to trick you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very true.
That's that. But everybody that came out of there said it was awesome. So good things about that too.
Can't wait.
That is cool. So any takeaways then or no?
You know, it's a great con. I think it is, you know, just for the cosplay and for the atmosphere and the positive vibes, it's definitely worth the price of admission if you get a chance to go to a Star Wars Celebration. It's not as claustrophobic and jam-packed as like a Comic-Con or even a PAX, so it's a little bit more relaxing. I mean, it's a relaxing con. You can, you know, easily get into a panel if you go an hour early as opposed to like 3 or 4 hours early, yep, like a Comic-Con. So, you know, that's a nice change. And just if you're a Star Wars fan, there's no reason to not get your ass to Orlando and go see it.
And this doesn't affect any of us, but from what I remember, super family friendly too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Like if you want to go to cons and you've got kids and you're like, I'm not dragging them to Comic-Con or like this, and you're a Star Wars fan, this is awesome.
Yeah.
They had like almost, you know how there's ball pits at like, you know, Discovery Zone?
Yes.
They had like a Lego pit.
Oh, really?
What? Giant.
Just for kids to like chill and play with like Duplo blocks and stuff like that.
Of Legos. Like these kids are just like rolling in Legos. Rolling. It was pretty awesome.
Maybe to close, the thing that I would say about this particular convention, maybe more so than other ones, is very much community driven. So like even a lot of the booths that you see there will just be like fan chapters will have booths, and like the 501st Legion had their own room, and the Droid Builders Club had their own room, and all of this stuff is like, you know, at the quality of something you would expect to see in a Star Wars film. So it really just kind of goes to show that Star Wars is still sort of like prevalent and relevant, you know, in the sense that it's still supported by the community. And there's such a big crew of people still making stuff and buying toys and trading toys and showing up.
And buying $125 autographs.
For real.
And I did see that Friends of Ours, Enemy Inc., the like t-shirt company, was there screening shirts like on site, and that Seth Green went over and actually screened a shirt like with them, like made his own shirt at Enemy Inc.
Awesome. We actually talked to them.
Did you?
Yeah.
Was it cool?
He wasn't there.
He wasn't Brad. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Cool.
Well, that was Celebration then, right, guys?
Yep. And let's go to PAX.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous. I totally want to go next time.
You should. Go. It's fun. I wanted to, but I've been traveling way too much. So.
And you can see Harry Potter, Hillary.
Yeah.
I know. This is going to happen.
We should do an Orlando. If it's an Orlando again, we should do an Orlando nerd appropriate reunion.
All right. Yay. At Harry Potter.
Yeah. Hell
at
yeah.
At Hogwarts.
There you go.
Sure.
That'd be
cool.
Awesome.
Cool. Well, let's take a quick break then and then get into some reviews. Let's do reviews.
Okay.
I feel the need for like all of these.
Do you really?
Oh yeah, I do too.
I was gonna ask. What? I was gonna ask Hillary, because this first one, True Blood, I have never watched a single episode.
Why? It's so
but
good.
Yet, you guys, I have heard the opposite of that from everyone I know. Even the people that like the show tell me that it is not a good show.
It does. It does live in the world of ridiculous. Yeah, absolutely. But it's set in like the South, and it's
sucker,
awesome.
Sucker, suck out his mind. Okay.
And just FYI, totally off topic, but it's set like in Louisiana.
Yes.
And just really strange thing today. Today is what, Monday, and 7 years ago tomorrow is when Katrina came to New Orleans. And now Isaac is positioned to hit New Orleans again.
Wow.
So that's random. Tropical storm.
It's just like a category one, right? Or a tropical storm.
Yeah, it'll be a two probably when it hits. But isn't that weird?
You should hear the nonchalance that people from the Gulf Coast talk about her. It's like, yeah, but it's just like a category one, right?
Yeah.
I know, right?
Dismissal of this.
Welcome to the Gulf Coast.
Storm.
Sorry.
Anyway, so True Blood.
Well, Fang Bangers. Is that what they say? Fang Bangers?
Fang Bangers.
Yeah.
All right. So hold on. Don't tell me anything yet, because I'm okay.
I'm not going to spoil it, because I realize that some people DVR it and will probably watch it at another time. So I will just give an overall impression.
Okay.
that it ended very strangely.
Season five before you season.
This is like season 200. I don't know. The thing keeps going on.
I think it's six. It's six because no wait.
It's season.
I don't know. It's a long time, yeah. But it gets more and more ridiculous. So at this point, we've complete like utter insanity. It's actually really cool. I mean, they did manage to have some plot twists that I wasn't expecting at all. And Bill is kind of different now. I'm going to say he's a bit evil.
Really? So,
yeah. So
he kind of, in the season I'm watching, he kind of turns into a little bit of a political douche. So
yeah, I was going to ask, how far are you, Ash?
I'm in the season before the season that's on now. So I think so I'm in season four.
You're in four. Yeah. Five is on right now.
And I'm nearing the end of season four. So,
and Scott, did you just start it?
I've seen season one.
One?
Yes. Okay. That's
good.
That's
luck with season two, dude. Oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah. So basically you think that Eric is evil and Bill is good. Yes.
All I remember is that the chick from Mean Girls was all like naked for most of that season. And that was kind of cool.
There's a lot of nakedness in that show.
Yeah, there sure is.
I've gotten to the point where I'm tired of seeing Anna Paquin naked. Like, I'm just over it. I'm like,
oh, yeah, you see,
just
yeah,
put
last season, she was naked a lot.
I've seen her naked body more than my own at this point. Like, because I basically just like leap into the shower and try not to look at myself. So
we're learning so much this episode.
Awesome.
Hey,
yeah, so the season finale
news,
really,
you guys.
Really
sorry.
Shake me up. What? Yes.
We have breaking news from Anna Schumann. She says, tell your podcast they smell, but not really. We are so excited to see you on Thursday. Have a great podcast.
We need to prank. Breaking news.
I feel like Scott should show up with an N64 in Pokemon Puzzle League, like in his hand. Yeah. And just be like, do this, and just throw it down on the table.
I do have an Ash Ketchum costume you can borrow for the con if you really want to do that.
Nice.
So
yes.
So true why blood. Should I? Maybe tell me this though. Why should I like this show?
You
sounds
should
like such
like
a horrible question, but I'm being serious. Everyone
you should
I know
like
is like
this show.
Oh. Yeah,
because it always manages to exceed your expectations. Whether your expectation is this is some crazy bullshit or this is the awesomest show ever, you're like, it's amazing.
I will say that Ash got my wife hooked on it, so like I feel like I'm not going to even have the option at some point. But
it scratches some weird, and I'm going to probably have people burn my house down for saying this, but for me, the quirky characters, the supporting cast, it has a very Twin Peaksy kind of vibe for me. Like there are people in the town and like there are characters that are just so like fucking ridiculous that you just can't help but watch them. You know, there's people
like
that are
Joan
just
Boathouse.
Yeah. And like, yeah. I mean, it's just like, you know, there's Were Panthers for fuck's sake.
What?
And like, there's a guy.
That's a good season.
There's a guy that's worried, like, Sookie, I've been bitten. I think I might be a Were Panther. And like, that is like a legitimate, like, oh no, he might be a Were Panther. And the worst part is the dude for like two episodes, he's strapped to the table getting raped by Were Panthers.
Yes, that is a good season.
That word is ever acceptable, but in True Blood, it's utterly ridiculous.
This season was all about one. The theme was like one line. I choose pack.
I choose what? Pack.
What does I choose pack? Yep.
That's the theme of the season. I swear, almost every episode has a lot of werewolf stuff. I choose pack.
Yeah.
Just go with
it. When I went to Comic-Con like 3 years ago, I spent 15 minutes listening to Doc Hammer and Jackson Publick rage about, I kid you not, like we went and got their signature. The people in front of us were dressed up as Sookie and Bill.
Sookie
and Bill.
Sookie, come on.
And they're like, oh, you're fans of True Blood. And they were like, yeah. And they kind of like laughed and they said something. They signed their thing. And then when they walked away, I said, I have to confess, I've never seen a single episode of True Blood. And Doc Hammer just started going off. He's like, don't ever watch it. It's the worst thing that I can't stop watching I've ever seen. And like they just 15 minutes of railing on the show about why it was awful, but yet they could not stop watching it for the life for anything they tried. So
yeah, I mean, it's got a cool premise. I mean, if you think about it, like the if you take like the 30,000 foot view, it's, you know, it's about like vampires mainstreaming, which is kind of it begs a lot of questions about, you know, discrimination and, you know, accepting people and whatnot. But I just love that that's what it's really about, and kind of like how they're trying to infiltrate the government and things like that. I mean, that
you know what
it's a really cool idea.
You know what else?
It's just set in crazy world.
The Wire.
You know what?
The Wire deals with those issues too.
You know what? I'm totally going to watch that show, but I haven't yet.
I know.
After you watch Downton Abbey, I will watch The Wire.
Don't even talk about that show.
I'll watch True Blood way before I watch Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey is amazing.
I watched three episodes of Downton Abbey, and I wanted to punch myself the entire time.
Why?
It just... Let's not get into Downton Abbey. This is not a Downton Abbey review, all right, everybody? This is a True Blood review. So, final thoughts. You enjoy this show. Obviously, you're a big fan of this show, correct?
I have a Fantasia t-shirt.
And nothing in this finale has ruined it for you. You're excited for season six?
I'm not as excited as I have been in the past, but I am excited about it.
Okay.
There is one plot twist, and I'm super...
When you stake a vampire in the show, they explode like you shoved a grenade up their butt.
Yes. Actually, there's somebody that dies in this season where a shifter turns into a fly, gets swallowed by a vampire, and then shifts back into a human while inside the vampire.
You know, they've done that in other horror movies, and I always feel like that wouldn't work out the way they... Something, I don't know. I feel like they'd both die, wouldn't they? Let's talk about the physics of this.
The physics of shifting?
I think the shifter would have momentum.
I guess.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's possible.
Oh, boy.
So let's on to the next HBO show, which is phenomenal. Newsroom. I know, such a good...
Yeah.
Newsroom finale happened last night. Now, Ash, you did not see it yet?
No, I'm all caught up except for the finale.
I'm going to have to do some earmuffs here.
No. We won't. We'll just do
it. We won't spoil it.
Same thing. I mean, it just happened last night, so I don't want to spoil it for anybody. Scott, what are you? We didn't get to really ask you this because you haven't been able to watch the show until now. What are your feelings on the show? Are you enjoying it?
I'm okay. Let me say this. I'm going to try not to sound douchey because I feel like it's totally douchey to say this, because both shows are incredible, but I think at this point, because I've only seen five episodes, I think at this point I honestly do like Studio 60 better. But like, really, what we're comparing here is we're comparing like coffee ice cream to like Oreo mint cookie ice cream. You know what I mean? Like, I love them both. You know,
that one over the other. Was it just the setting that you kind of enjoy more than the news setting, or?
No, I mean, I think some of it has to do with Matthew Perry. And the girl, the love interest, Matthew Perry's love interest on that show.
Was it Parker? No, it wasn't Parker.
No, Amanda Peet.
Yeah, Amanda Peet.
Oh, no. That was the blonde.
The blonde girl. Nice.
Yes, no.
The show always needs a good blonde girl.
No, I mean, she was the main cast member on the show, like on the fake
Jeff
SNL
Daniels
show.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, I like I said, I like them both. And I just made it to the episode with where Olivia Munn has like a significant amount of speaking time.
Yeah,
and I thought she was really great.
I love her.
So yeah, totally enjoying both shows. But at the same time, like after watching like three episodes of Newsroom, I went back and watched the pilot for Studio 60 again. So now I'm on like a Sorkin overdose right now.
Yeah, I have to say, I don't know about you, Hillary. I think the thing that sums it up for me, and I actually said this to Melissa when we finished watching it, I was like, what really depresses me about the show is that this is the exact news show that we completely need right now. Like,
I know. Yeah.
And it just doesn't, it does not exist at all. It's like, it's not even remotely in existence in this country. And it's absolutely like a mainstream talk straight, you know, relatively unbiased news show.
News 2.0.
Oh, it's so good. It's just so good. And the ending, the last two episodes, or I would say three, were like really tense. And I thought got really great. So
I agree with you. Actually, somebody tweeted at me and I hadn't even put anything out there about Newsroom, but I guess they realized that I'd be watching it. And they said exactly that. Why don't we have this in real life? I think I personally relate to McAvoy just because, you know, I don't want to get too political here, but I mean, I'm registered Republican, and yet I feel the same way he feels at the end of the show. When you watch it and you listen to what he says, he said exactly what I've been thinking for a couple of years. So when you read it or when you see it, it makes so much sense. You know what I mean? Just the lines that he draws between certain parties and calling out exactly what they are. It's phenomenal. Awesome. I was literally like shocked, like, yes, exactly. But just the fact that they're trying to be fair and really, you know, doing something as simple as making sure that they confirm something twice before reporting on it. I mean, stuff like that. And actually taking into account not what's hot. I mean, there's an episode where they talk about like Casey Anthony, and then they wanted to talk about the debt ceiling and then they did the right thing. I mean, stuff like that. Like, why don't we have that?
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? I have a fear about this particular show, and I don't know if maybe you guys can tell me if this fear is like something I should be worried about or not. They seem to be moving pretty quickly in time, so I don't know how much they can do before they catch up to now.
Well, they're going on break now, so they're going to get another year off before their new episodes are showing.
Oh.
And they caught up to about a year ago, I would say. Okay. Right? Fair enough. Is that about where they were?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I think they're going to hang about 2 years back every season. It seems like they're just going to sit just enough back that they can kind of do a retrospective on what happened. That
makes sense.
I will say one thing I really enjoyed about this season as a whole, with it being Sorkin, is that having watched pretty much, except for unfortunately West Wing, all of his past shows, this one really does a good job of not getting too rote. Like, I don't feel like every episode's going to be the kind of same pattern. Something's going to happen. Everybody's walking and talking, and then they solve the crisis and then move on. They've been doing a lot of ways of telling the story in different shapes and kind of switching things around, switching the format of how they get through a storyline. And it seems very concise. And like every episode, while there's definitely stuff that goes from episode to episode, every episode's pretty contained as far as what they're doing. And just felt good. Like, it felt like what a lot of people complain about with Sorkin is that his stuff gets so long-winded and it just goes for so long. And you're just like, I don't even, you know, what I'm talking about anymore. And the episodes kind of get bland because they don't really do a lot in them. And really, like, you know, the backwards storytelling, the kind of forward, they did just a bunch of different little plays on how to tell a story this season, and I really enjoyed it. So,
well, and there's two things too that I love. I mean, obviously this show is based on current events or not current events, but historical events that, you know, we don't look at things that happened 2 years ago and put them in the context of history, but it really is. So that, I mean, that's kind of neat because we all have feelings at the time, and it's kind of, you know, bringing those feelings back up and kind of presenting them in a new way. But also, I love how he closed out the season by taking a thread from the first episode and then kind of bringing it back and tying it into this last one. I'm not going to tell you how, but I was like, that is brilliant. That is absolutely brilliant.
Awesome.
Can't just a great job writing. So you know, if you miss Newsroom, you know, HBO will be on their usual 10 months before the DVDs come out cycle. So either go get HBO Go or wait a year to watch them on DVD. But it's a phenomenal show. So highly recommended, I think, from all of us at this point. Even Scott, who would rather watch Sunset Strip 16.
No. Jimmy, now you're taking my words out of context.
I'm kidding. I think it will grow on you as the episodes go. All the characters kind of get built out a lot better as the episodes go on. So it's awesome.
I mean, it's already great. I mean, if I had to pick one, like that's all I was saying, but they're both great.
I would still be Sports Nights really high up on my list.
See, it's been too long. I barely remember. I think I need to go back and watch it.
Question of the week time. I don't know who wrote this one, either Scott or Ash.
Probably
it was
Ash.
Me.
It was Hillary?
Yeah.
And you don't have an answer?
Yeah.
What is your problem?
I was too busy watching True Blood.
Questions. What's that?
I said it's in line with the theme of Star Wars Celebration.
It is. And the phones that are getting banned are called Galaxy phones. Ooh. What? Ooh. It's all in theme, people. The question is, what is your bounty hunter name? And I think we should start off with Ash.
My bounty hunter name is Sarlacc Snagglepussy. The most feared the most feared Sarlacc in all the land.
How do you move around in bounty hunt?
Well, I wait like any good Snagglepussy, I wait for my targets to come to me.
And then you draw them in with your tentacles?
Goggle them up.
Goggle them up. No.
That sounds like a reject James Bond villain name.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
instead of Octopussy?
Yeah.
Well, sorry, guys. Jeez.
Wait till you hear our gold gems. All right. First up, we have Justin Banks, Midtown 583, says, Neil Armstrong, because you'll remember where you were when I set foot on the ground to catch you. I think this is an ode to a fallen astronaut this week.
It's so relevant and current.
Or Neil Young, as NBC put it.
Did they really?
Yeah, they put RIP Neil Young, first astronaut to step foot on the moon.
I don't think he's dead
Neil
yet.
Young? That's awesome.
Pants on the ground.
Wow.
You guys didn't see that? The Jimmy Fallon thing?
I did not.
With Neil Armstrong?
Jimmy Fallon did he does Neil Young a lot on his show. And so he sang the Pants on the Ground song from American Idol.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go.
Looking like a fool with your pants on the ground. That one?
That one. Except he sang it like Neil Young.
So,
okay. Anyways, our buddy Ryan at Physics for Poets says, Ryan Gosling fit because that man has looks that could kill.
Ooh.
Zing.
Ooh.
Zing. What?
With the zing.
Hillary, right. Are you one of the women who finds Ryan Gosling to be delectable?
I am not, actually.
Really?
A good video for certain times when Ash asks certain things.
He looks like lecherous. That's the only word.
He makes a face. He kind of rolls his eyes a little too when he does it.
And only the outside, outer part of his eyebrows
like a
come
Cosby,
up. So
a Cosby pudding pop face.
Yeah, kind of a Cosby pudding pop face. That's true.
Oh my God.
Scott, do you have an answer?
Yeah, I normally, as natural, I have two answers.
Gotta show everybody up, Dr. Scott.
I know, right? One upper.
Well, it just reminded, what Ash did reminded me of something, and I remembered that in Star Wars Galaxies, I thought I was so cool because I'm a James Bond fan, so in that game, I named my character Janice Bondar. but my real answer is actually my Wu-Tang Clan name, which is Tough Rider. And I should note that Tuff is spelled T-U-F-F.
Of course. How else is Tuff spelled?
Yeah, exactly. So I think if you can't think of a bounty hunter.
Tough Rider?
Yeah. If you can't think of a name, I would say consult a Wu-Tang Clan name generator.
I will, because I don't have a name. But that's...
I want to do that too, but that's not fair because I used a Star Wars name generator for my answer.
Yours is going to be lame-o.
I know. I'll just say mine now because I totally like wah-wah.
Just add Snagglepussy to the end and it'll be awesome.
So I used a name generator because I was like, I want a female bounty hunter name. And what it came up was Astrid Horkin. Because that is an awesome bounty hunter name.
Oh my
like
God.
Like a Harry Potter villain.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, so Wu-Tang name generator?
Yeah, Wu-Tang clan name generator. You got to find the original one, though. Might be the second link.
So, let's go ahead.
I was going to say, while you're looking that up, I'll read. We got a response from Melissa Kay from Reset Transmission, and her response says, can I be lame and use my Swartor smuggler, whose name is Mel_Issa? Mel Issa.
That's a good one.
The apostrophe for Star Wars.
Most creative use of an apostrophe. Indeed.
That's what they do.
Yes, you can be lame and use your Swartor smuggler's name.
I originally was just going to punk out and say dog. And then...
Well, you got to laugh at me.
No problem. So, and then I looked up the Wu-Tang name generator, and I am Arrogant Ambassador.
No, I am Wicked Ambassador.
Hey, see, this work.
It's totally amazing.
Do we have more? Yeah. We got more?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, so Wes Watson, it's Edge X Creandon, yeah, the most awesome multiplayer person ever. If you ever have a question, he's the guy to go to. So, he says, Devol, because the simple names are the easy ones for rumors and fear, and is always the name of my Swartor hunter.
Which is nice. D-E-O-L.
Yes, yeah. Devol or cool. Devol. Cool. Like Devol. Why did I sound like I was going to the mall for a second? I'm going to the mall, and I'm going to meet Devol.
Oh my god, that was really good.
That was really good.
It was as good as my Kermit.
Oh my god, that was so good.
Oh my god,
I went to the mall, and it was awesome.
So we are doing voices.
We have another response from Anna Shu, and also from Reset Transmission, and she says, mine is obviously Peach. It's my nickname, and I'm the most feared bounty hunter in all the land. Also, remember your other Star Wars question? My sidekick is still Punch. Throwback.
Nice.
Peach Punch.
Remember we did that, I think, a while back. We did a throwback question. What would your Star Wars
Star Wars questions.
Yeah, but this is relevant to what we're doing now, in the moment.
It is.
We went to Celebration.
You did.
Mm.
It's a thing.
And now we're going to PAX.
So is our question going to be, what would your Penny Arcade cartoon character name be?
Maybe. Is there...
That's the worst.
Astrid.
Can we use that?
What would your Penny Arcade cartoon character's name be?
Oh, God. That would be horrible. So that's it.
Yeah.
We did it.
Way to end it.
We did it, guys. Thanks, Ash. So
what happens to record late?
God, just goes downhill. So as always, you can follow us on Twitter at NerdAppropriate or on Facebook /NerdAppropriate. You can email all of us, Matt, Scott, Ash, and Hillary with one L at NerdAppropriate.com. You guys are going to PAX, so
yes.
Spread the word. We will be tweeting a literal ass ton worth of things from PAX.
Yep.
Will be coming
so
out of
much.
Our Twitter feed.
So much.
It'll be like a fat kid after tacos getting diarrhea.
It's
what?
Be fun.
I don't know what that is, but.
Or like a snaggle pussy.
Whoa, why did you say like you were like a strange, like robot Canadian? Oh, a snaggle pussy.
What? That was not what she sounded like, but that was just Sean Connery and not even close to me.
Why is it Canadian?
Snaggle pussy, Batman.
Why is there Batman involved? That is just Sean Connery.
What's with the lisp?
Isn't that what...
I didn't say...
Okay.
I didn't say snaggle pusher.
Oh, snaggle pusher.
Snaggle pusher.
We did it.
This is what dying feels like.
Good job, you guys.
Follow our Twitter feed, everybody, for PAX updates, and we will see you in a week or so.
Yay!
Come say hi to me at the Bioware base.
Go say hi to Hillary at the Bioware base, and then find Scott and Ash and pinch their bottoms.
I'm going to be, by the way, I'm cosplaying on Sunday as a Vorcha. I'm just putting... I'm just kind of wearing, like, I found this brown thong and some... like kind of grayish brownish body paint, and that's my whole costume. So if you see me on the floor, make sure you say hi, okay?
And pinch his bottom.
Scott, are you gonna cosplay?
No.
Way to jump on that joke.
Sorry.
It's a trap.
Alrighty, guys. Well, I will not talk to you next week, most likely, but soon after. So have fun at PAX.
See you guys later.
Be back.
Bye. We'll be right back.
Why do they sound like Canadian?
I don't know.
Snaggle pussy sounds Canadian.
No, you said it all funny. Like, you'll hear it when this is out for the world to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad for Scott having to make sense of this mess.